call to worship is from Isaiah 40. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's join in singing an Advent hymn, number 153, There's a Voice in the Wilderness. Seated in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join in the opening prayer and note that there is a period of silent prayer partway through the printed prayer. Dearest Father, we are so blessed to know Jesus and what you have done for the world through him. Forgive us, we pray, for the many times that we have been distracted from the good news of Jesus Christ and have sought peace and security elsewhere. Help us to see where we have strayed from you and to decide deep down to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank you, O God, for loving the world so much that you sent your only Son, so that all who believe in him may be forgiven their wrongs and live forever in his grace and in his presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come on up to the front. wasn't. It looks like one of our Advent candles has decided to attend church this morning, and so we're going to light it. And it's a purple one. And does anybody remember what the color purple signifies? Like, there are different colors that mean different things. What do you think it means in the waiting? Right, it means waiting. It's a traditional color symbolizing waiting. And that reminds us that there were thousands of years of waiting before Jesus came. He was spoken about, and various details of his life and his place of birth were revealed hundreds of years ahead of time, but God's people were waiting for that to be fulfilled. And we remember that time of waiting, and we remember that he has come, and also that he has said he will come again to finish the work that God has given him to do. So I've got out some bells and some, no whistles, just bells. And there's a, I really like, if you'd like to annoy your parents, this is one of the best ways. Okay. This is the second best way. Do you want to annoy your parents? No, I didn't think so. And we have several bells here.
I want a bell.
Do you want a bell? Okay.
I have the voice.
There you go.
One
for your mom. That's very thoughtful. Good. Okay. Okay, now the idea is that we're quiet until in the song it says that we will be ringing the bells. Okay, are you ready? So it's how many weeks? 4 Sundays. 4 more weeks till he arrives. 4 more weeks till he arrives. Children shout and cheer. Hooray! Let the children shout. Let all kinds of drums be heard. All kinds of drums be heard. Let all people get the word. Let all people get the word. Let's clap our hands and slap our thighs. Raise our voices to the skies. Sing and play our gong and drums. Moment when you go back to your seats, you can just drop your instruments in there. Yes, it is. It's a nice bell. Let's pray for a moment. Jesus, we invite you to bring your warmth and love and light into our lives and into our families. You know us all and care about us, and we invite you to do your good work in us and in those we love, and we bring your world before you with all of its joys and sorrows, and thank you that you hold the whole world in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Go ahead. We were going to have a bit of a slideshow from the packing party, but it's not made into a slideshow yet. So we're going to have that maybe next week. just so you can take a moment to see what went on for the Operation Christmas Child packing party. And sometime this year we changed the sharing Sunday from the third Sunday of the month to the fourth Sunday of the month, and that was to enable people who were working in the kitchen to have the opportunity on the fourth Sunday of the month to share. And Dave has asked if he could take a couple minutes, since you were working in the kitchen last Sunday when we had our sharing Sunday. We changed it last Sunday because of this Sunday. But anyway, I'll allow you 2 minutes before I press the button on the trap door, Dave. And I expect you to be that generous with me and the button and the trap door.
This will be a little different than the last time I was up here. Just sharing Sunday is supposed to be an example of how God's working. So here's an example of how Christian charity and the Spirit of God was working in my life anyways last month. I had a prompting from the Spirit the first Sunday of November to take a handful of the Operation Christmas Child boxes to work with me. I thought I'd grab two or three, but when I got home I had six boxes. At first I thought I should just take a couple with me, but instead I took all six into work with me on Monday of that week. I briefly explained the Christmas Child program to Joy, a lady I worked side by side with in the warehouse. She's never professed to believe in Jesus Christ, and she only goes to church when there's a special program, like a big choir or presentation or a Christmas tree lighting event. But when I told her how much one of these boxes would mean to a child in a distant land, she immediately took one to fill it. She seemed to be quite joyful about it, to use one of Stuart's euphemisms. Because I was busy unloading a container by myself and really didn't see anyone for the better part of 2 days, I left the boxes and a few brochures in the warehouse. On the third day, I thought I should round up what boxes were left and then take them home. And there were none to be found. First I thought, great, the cleaning lady's thrown them away. So I asked Joy about them, and she told me that five other people had taken them home. Chinese lady Sue, I'm going to mention their names because I think if I mention their names, that way God will hear him and he'll pass an extra blessing on to them. Chinese lady Sue took one, and then her daughter wanted one too. And Henry, another Chinese fellow, and Beljeet, an East Indian lady, they all took one too. None of these people have ever professed to be Christian. To complete the list, Masood, he's an Iranian Christian who fled to Canada with his Assyrian wife about 8 years ago. And I'm proud to call him a good friend. He also took one to fill. By Friday that week, I had six full boxes to bring for the packing party on November the 14th. The problem was I didn't have a box to fill for myself. So as my part of the deal, I thought I bought a few things to fill each box to the top. Joy's was overflowing, so I actually took some of her stuff and put it in them. And they asked you to write a short note, so I wrote a short note to each child that it was going to. It was from a boy 10 to 14 down to a girl, was it 2 to 4 or 5 or something. So there's one almost every kid in the age group covered. And I addressed the, I wrote a short note and then to each child, and I signed it from the Brickhouse family because I didn't know who to sign it from. So I thought I'd include us all. And the generosity and outpouring of love I witnessed from my colleagues at work was truly a blessing. It filled my heart with great pleasure and also humbled me. By following a prompting from the Holy Spirit, with little or no expectations of success, God surprised me, to say the least. I felt compelled to give it a shot, and I still kind of get excited when I see how Many children would be blessed as a result of trying something different with a small measure of faith. Next year, I want to start earlier and see if I can't get the whole lab involved. There's like 60 people that work there. So maybe this will inspire someone else to try the same thing at their place of work. If not for Operation Christmas Child, then maybe a box for the food bank or some other worthwhile charity. And I'll let the Holy Spirit do the prompting. Thanks.
At another Samaritan's Purse Christmas Child presentation anyway, so that's great. I think I'll try that at my workplace. You never know, there might be some people. Now it's time for praise and worship. You can be seated for this song. It's a quieter one. It reminds us of some important truths. We believe. And we all need Jesus, 'cause life is hard,
and it might have gone get easier. But don't be afraid to know who you are. Don't be afraid to show it. If you believe you say you need Jesus, He'll be where you are, and He never will leave you. Sing to me now words that are true, so all in this place can know it. We believe. We all need Jesus. We believe in God. And we all need Jesus. We believe in God. And we all need Jesus. Sing to me now.
This song, He Knows My Name, after we've sung through it once and we go back to the chorus, I'm going to have us sing not just He Knows My Name, but You Know My Name. We're addressing God directly, and He knows your name, so we're reminding each other so we can hear. He knows your name, He knows your every thought, and so on. But I'll give the cues for that, so relax. I have a maker, He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. He knows my name, He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father, He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name, my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
He knows your name.
He knows your name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears you when you call. my name. You know my name. You know my every thought. You see. My name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing us. Thank you, Father, for hearing us and sending your Spirit to us. Our scripture lesson for today, it's John chapter 1 in the New Testament. We'll read verses 14 to 34. In this beginning of the Gospel of John, it's officially called the prologue to his Gospel, and he tries to catch the interest of people in his day who weren't familiar with Christianity, of course, or with even Hebrew thinking, but who were familiar with Greek and other philosophy. And he uses a term which we translate as word, which in Greek is logos, and it refers to the agent of creation. The power that is behind it all, the being who brought it all into being. And we pick this up a little bit farther on as he switches from talking to those people in terms of Greek philosophy and has switched into biblical thought. And so for those people, when they hear the first phrase that we're going to read, the word became flesh, they'll go, oh, you mean that agent of creation, that powerful being, that logos that was sent to us or communicated to us that brought the universe into being, that became flesh and dwelt among us? Which was a profoundly new and to some troubling thought. Because they thought the spiritual and the flesh and blood had the material world could have nothing to do with each other, and that the material world was evil and the spiritual world was good. But John is saying what Jesus said, that God so loved the world, he sent his only Son into the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So with that in mind, as a bit of background, let's read this passage. Verses 14 through 34. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ."
They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." May God bless this precious reading from his holy word, that we may be blessed, encouraged, and strengthened by it, and may he receive the honor and glory forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Guide my thoughts and words and the thoughts and responses of my heart and those of each one of us, and draw us close to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to come a little closer and make you feel uncomfortable. I'd just like to run through this passage. So I mentioned that the Word is the agent of creation. And so that Word became flesh. An amazing thing. And we've all heard it so many times, that God sent his only Son into the world. He was born in a manger. But to the world then, this was outrageous and unheard of, that such a thing should take place, that the maker of the universe should somehow come himself to dwell among his lowly creatures, to show them his love for them, to show them who he is, reveal himself. Remember, Jesus said that anyone who had seen him had seen the Father. And to bring about something that no one on earth could bring about, and that is to bring about forgiveness of sins by God himself coming, taking upon himself all of our wrongs, and receiving the punishment in our places on the cross, dying and rising again, so that we too might be forgiven and rise to new life, empowered by his presence with us. It's interesting that it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. The law is not an inferior thing, because Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. He had great honor and respect for the law, but the law could not bring about change in our hearts. And also, the law was given by God. Remember, on the stone tablets which Moses brought down from the mountaintop. So the law was given, but grace, God's mercy, unmerited favor, and empowering presence, and his truth came through Jesus Christ. They came to us, right into the midst of us, to dwell in the midst of us. in the person of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. So people were wondering, now, who is this John who's baptizing people in the desert, who wears weird clothing and eats locusts and wild honey? Something went wrong in that family, I'm telling you. But had they read the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which we now have referred to as the Old Testament, they would have recognized who he was, because there are passages there which speak about him. And there are passages which say that before the Christ, the Messiah, would come, there would be someone who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And John apparently didn't realize what Jesus told people later, that he was the one. Maybe it would have gone to his head, so the Father didn't make it perfectly clear to him. But he, in fact, was that one. But at the time, he denied it. And the thing about Elijah is that he would come, or not Elijah, but this person who would come in the same spirit and power of Elijah, would turn the hearts of the people back to God, so that they would be ready to receive and welcome the Messiah. And sure enough, crowds of people gathered and heard John's message of repentance and were baptized as an expression of their desire to be clean before God and ready for the Messiah. They also said, "Are you the prophet?" And now the prophet was mentioned in the Old Testament as one who would be like Moses, and to whom all must pay heed or perish. Anybody who didn't listen to him would perish. And that was Jesus, is Jesus. And so John the Baptist said, "No, that's not me." And finally they said, "Well, who are you then?" And he took a very humble part and said, "I am like a voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the path for the Lord." Those things in our lives that would get in God's way, John invited us to remove, to examine ourselves and to turn away from these things. And so they asked him why he baptized, and he said, "Well, I just baptized with water, but I was told by the one who sent me that there would be someone upon whom I saw the Holy Spirit settle like a dove, and he would do far more than baptize with water. He would baptize with the Holy Spirit." And to baptize means to fully immerse. So what these outward actions could not accomplish, God promised he would send someone who would make it possible for him to send the Holy Spirit to us. Adam and Eve had the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit when they turned away from God and rejected his plan for creation and for humanity. All of that fell away from them. And that's why that's called the fall. They fell, and all those things fell away. But this is being restored in Jesus Christ. So what John couldn't do with baptizing people in water, what the law couldn't do by teaching right from wrong, God has decided to offer to those who will come, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, to immerse those who come to Jesus Christ and believe in him in the Holy Spirit, so that they would know God's presence within and be given the strength and grace to live as he calls us to live. Understanding, yes, we will stumble and fall. We are not perfect in this life. But his presence, he had said, will dwell within those who believe in him. If we love him, he and the Father will come and dwell in us through the Holy Spirit and cleanse us and fill us and immerse us in his presence. Thanks be to God for this amazing gift and mercy from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It says here that the offering is next. So I just draw your attention to the announcements. Don't miss any. Be sure to remember next Sunday night a special event here. And then Friday, December 10th, another special night when we'll have all of our candles lit and have a service. And we have special guests. The choir from Richmond Presbyterian Church will be here as well. And some of them from their congregation will be joining us for Carols by Candlelight. Sharon? Right, we need help. And also there'll be sign-up sheets coming up for the Christmas luncheon December 19th. Our offerings will be received at this time. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy towards us all in the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We make these offerings to you with the love of our hearts and our deep desire to see your kingdom come on earth and for you to use us in any ways which you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. In prayer, concluding with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, as we sang to you this morning, we are so amazed and so grateful that you, our Maker, the one who formed our hearts, have always held us. Our lives have each always been in your hands. And you know our names. You know our thoughts. You see our joys and our sorrows and every tear that falls. You know about the things that are happening in our lives. And yet you invite us to come to you in prayer and to open our lives up before you and to invite your presence and your work in our lives, giving you permission. Lord, we do that. We welcome you into each of our lives. And we pray for your grace to be at work in the lives of those around us. And we especially want to remember today Larry Fidler, who's in hospital with a possible stroke. We pray, Father, that in your mercy you would touch this faithful servant of yours with your Holy Spirit's power and restore good health to him. Guide his doctors and bless everything that is done for him. And bless and comfort him and Jean and their families. We pray for Lisa, also in hospital after surgery. And we pray for your hand of healing to touch her as well, and for you to work through her doctors and by your Spirit to grant good health to her. We also pray for Aaron, who is a friend of Joanna's, who is expecting a child. We pray for a safe remainder of the pregnancy and safe birth and good health for all. And we pray for all babies, as Fred put it, preparing to be born, and for mothers preparing to give birth, that these occasions may be great blessings and times of joy, and your grace may abound. We also thank you for the safe arrival of Kashmira boys to Cam and Heather boys, and pray your blessing upon them. We pray too for our new Brighouse United Church daycare. We pray that you would guide the selection committee regarding hiring of a manager teacher, and guide the whole process and open every door for this work of yours to go forward. We also pray for Nicole, Angie, and Kitty in the loss of Ken. And we remember Denny, Graydon, Shirley, Maureen, and Mike, and Len. We pray for Xavier and Carol, Gloria, Andrew. We continue to pray for Mary, Jessica, Norman, and Effie. And we bring before you Sam, Donna, Lisa, and Diane, and Stephen, and Karen. And Joel and family in the loss of his father, Larry. And we offer all of these prayers to you, O Lord, also remembering our fellow dwellers on this earth in Haiti who have been struck with one disaster after another. And we pray that you would intervene to help them. And we thank you for those who have been able to go and help. But may your power be at work, O Lord, among those people. We ask these things with the unspoken prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray in a manner like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm not sure if there is a prayer team today because there's going to be decorating and general foo-fah going on in here for a while. But if anyone, there is a team, and even if you have to go into a quiet room, okay. But come over here if you would like prayer, and then we'll go from there. And all are invited to either stay here and help or watch with decorating and hanging up various things, or to go into the church hall to make decorations to take home, and refreshments will be served from the church hall. And I've told the Church of God in Richmond that we will be out of the church hall at the very latest by 12:30, which is what it's always worked out as. So I think that will work out, but I just wanted everyone to know. Our closing hymn is a Christmas hymn, number 401, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
Receive this blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us forevermore.